It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right.
Coach Raheem Morris with us live.
Yes, Coach, health update. Number one concern, I think, for Falcon fans, especially after seeing Drake leave. Everybody that was at the game, we were all like, okay, Drake doesn't leave games, so this must be serious. And we were all kind of freaking out at the end of the game, despite what the income was, you know, or the outcome. Tell us an update, if you could, on not only Drake, but also Darnell Mooney, because we know he didn't play on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, Drake obviously left the game at the end there, took the hit, you know, whatever happened to his shoulder. And, you know, but he was able to practice the day full. So he was able to go out there and do everything that we asked him to do, you know, limited, but
sure.
Basically everything that we do and everything that he was required to do, we can go out there and do, which was a promising sign. We feel good about his toughness. We feel good about who he is, and we feel good about him being able to play. You know, obviously those things happen in the game and happen at a critical moment for us, but, you know, our young guys stepped up and kept fighting and gave us a chance to win. You know, and obviously Mooney, you know, was really close last week. You know, obviously I'm still saying day to day everybody,
sure,
but
right.
I feel comfortable with him. You know, went out there and practiced, got a lot of things done today. You know, he's feeling good. He's bouncing around, looking like Mooney, looking at himself. So, really excited about all those guys.
Coach Raheem Morris with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios. What a dynamic start, man, with your dynamic playmaker, Bijan Robinson, taking it to the house. And then it just seems like we got to a bit of a lull. Is what you expected? How would you rank the offensive line's performance? We know that Vita Vea is a force. And did you get – obviously, we didn't get the run game probably where you wanted it.
You know, we clearly talked about that as a group, as a staff, with our guys. You know, it was, you know, tell the truth Monday when you get a chance to come in. And we didn't play well enough on the offensive line. And it's not just the offensive line, around the offensive line, all of the guys, whether you're talking about the tight end position blocking and receiver position blocking, us getting our run game going. Mm-hmm. We really got to figure out that and get that going, which I know we can. Really confident we can do those things. We didn't do all the right things you want to do in a short yardage and goal line situations. We could have made that a lot easier for us, as opposed to seeing the Superman plays by Michael Penix
right.
on the fourth and two or the fourth and goal, whatever the case may be. We can make that a lot easier with the dynamic running backs that we have, with the upfront people playing the right way and the right style. And we got to get that corrected this week. And that's at the forefront of our mind. Make no mistake about that.
Coach, you watch the tape. Evaluate the rookies. I thought Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman balled out. But as a group, I mean, we're seeing obviously Jalen, we're seeing JP, you know, James Pierce Jr. As a group, what did you think about the rookies after watching the tape?
So, you know, when you talk about those two guys, they stood out because they were in a position to make plays on the football, particularly Watt. You know, we're almost talking about the rookie of the week with two interceptions. We miss one, they go for a touchdown, we drop another one. He made some other significant plays throughout the game, whether it was tackles or things of that nature. But you're talking about when you put those rookies out there, they're going to make plays. But when you get in position to make that many plays, you're doing something right. Mm. And Billy Bowman the same. He was a force in the box, making plays, you know, got the sack and a half, got the half a sack for us on some of his pressure things that we talked about. He was able to go in there and really fit the run for us, do some really good thing. Had some coverage opportunities, had a tough coverage on that late crosser on third down or whatever that case was. But he is everything that we thought about, everything that we argued. And then for the front people, we really had that role that we talked about, right? I mean, I think everybody in the D-line probably had 30 snaps, and it was a significant role in there. And we had top five in pressures on the quarterback this week, and we had one sack, and we missed a critical sack in that two-minute drive that would have won the game for us.
Right.
And those are the things – that was the outlying point of the defense, not even just the rookies. We had – the most miss-ops that we probably can have, and we still had an opportunity to win that football game. So we can clean up some of those things, eliminate some of the miss-ops, whether it be drop interceptions or whether it be sack opportunities that we had.
Right.
We can do a lot of really good things. Not to mention, Baker made some heck of a plays coming out the backfield. Particularly on third down when he was running using his legs. You know, I mean, I think he had about 100 yards passing up until that last 2 minutes, and he made a bunch of plays with his feet on third down and long and third down and short. And those are the things we got to eliminate and stop the guys from doing.
Raheem Morris with us, guys, live from Falcons camp. And that's the thing we spent a lot of time yesterday and today about finish rate. And, you know, you always say stats are for losers. Who cares? Got to get there. But are there things you see that from the D-line coaching up or just working with Pearson, Jalen, and Leonard Floyd that, hey, because Leonard Floyd's an OG. He knows what to do. But these guys can work on it, and it will get better, and they will get there.
I think they're going to be great. You know, it's promising for me to see the people get up there, to see Baker have to move out of the spot, have to run, have to use his legs. Now we got to make sure we rush with the right integrity, the lanes, and things of that nature. We got to rush with the vision and the violence that's required to get the quarterback on the ground. And we got another great opportunity this week, especially with this kid coming in.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Kevin O'Connell. Your relationship, unique. I mean, you guys won big together. For those who don't know, Kevin O'Connell was the OC. You were the DC. And you guys won a Super Bowl together. Raw, what is it about him? And because, look, we watched this game the other night. He calmed his quarterback down. I mean, it went from being complete, you know, hot mess to all of a sudden his quarterback looked like he had played in the league for 10 years. And I think he deserves a lot of credit. I'm talking about Kevin O'Connell. Deserves a lot of credit for that. Talk about your relationship with him.
He should always get credit for anything that was that's required and talked about being poised. You know, you're talking about a guy that's really comfortable in his skin. And no matter what's going on around him, he's going to remain the same guy. He's going to have that same calm presence that he's always had. You know, when we were in L.A. together, that was really a major part of his role. Is keeping everybody calm on offense, being able to deliver information and communicate at a very high level, which he did. And he's always going to be that way, even calm, poised guy. Got a lot of command over everything that he does. Really smart, sharp, articulate, really knowledgeable in the offense and the defense side of the ball. Like, you're talking about one of the best, and I got so much respect for my good friend, Kevin O'Connell.
Do you feel like you're facing Sean's offense, Sean McVay, guys, when you face Kevin's offense?
So here's the deal. You know, they all worked with Sean at one time or twice. And for Kevin O'Connell's chance, they worked together twice. So they worked together in Washington, and they worked together in L.A. But they all have their own little spin, their own identity, all of these guys. Whether you're talking about Zach Robinson, whether you're talking about Kevin O'Connell, whether you're talking about any of these guys that have left L.A. and gone on to do different things. You know, there's things that we've all taken from John Gruden. There's things that we've all taken from all our walks of life. You know, he had Bill Belichick that he coached him and did some different things. So, like, people that he's been around, you take those things and you acquire those things and you put them together, and he's come out and become his own self. So, like, you know, is he going to be all 11 like Sean? No. He's going to be multiple. He's going to move around, get some different personnel groupings, do some different things, some different type of plays. The one thing they all have in common is they all look at each other's tape. I can tell you that.
Right. A lot of, yeah, similarities.
Right. And we certainly anticipate, you know, Brian Flores trying to throw some looks at Penix. Mike's going to have to adapt to. All these games in the NFL seem to come down to one possession. The kicking situation, the general manager brings in the competition. You judge the competition. Lenny Krieg came in. We didn't feel like that was a guy that had NFL experience, but he gave it a shot. What about this week with John Parker Romo? How's that looking as far as pushing coup and what's going to take to get somebody else in there?
You know, as far as Lenny's, you know, talking about our developmental player who came in here with a big, powerful leg, who showed us something, you know, really impressive. You know, probably not at that point yet, but a developmental player that you got a lot of, you know, A lot of stuff going on with him, right? And then you bring in a veteran this week, obviously, because of the miss. You know, let's not skate around the obvious. You don't bring in another veteran if you don't have that miss. You know, but the confidence that we gained over the summer with Koo going 90% as we all watched throughout the summer, as we all looked at that, the change in the body, all the things that he did, the work that he put in. And then he went out and had a disappointing performance, right? And that starts the noise all over again. And that's the kind of noise you got to embrace as a coach, as a player.
Right.
And I talked to Koo, and I told him there's only a couple guys that go through that. Me, you, Michael Penix, and sometimes the tackle.
Right.
They don't block.
Right.
And nobody else can relate unless you play golf. So other than that, man, you got to either put the noise behind you, go out there and embrace the competition and trying to find a way to win, or you don't. And that's where we're at. And we'll let those guys keep competing.
Right.
You know, it started today. By no means is it over. But we'll go out and we'll give our best chance. We got to give the Atlanta Falcons the best chance to win.
Were you disappointed that he left and didn't talk to the media on Sunday?
You know, it's tough. You know, I am disappointed because he's disappointed. You know, I'm not disappointed with him. I'm not disappointed about it. You know, but for him, that he's bigger than that. It just wasn't it wasn't the time for him, right? And like, he had to walk away. And sometimes those things happen with players, and you got to deal with that. And I want to walk away sometimes, but I can't. You know, I have people that I lean on. I have people that I can talk to, particularly people here in this building, and particularly our owner. And right there, he didn't have that. And I feel bad that I wasn't there for him to give him that. And I wish I was there to know that he had the intention of walking away if I had the opportunity to talk to him.
You are saying, Coach, you will make a decision by the end of the week on one of these guys?
The best part about it is you got the entire week. You got all the way up until, you know, obviously Saturday. Right. So we'll take all the time that's necessary to make those decisions to find out who's going to be our kicker. And we're going to make the right decision. We're going to make it based off their performance, nothing else.
Can I ask you one more thing in regards to Young Wei Koo? It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A lot of times it's mental. You've been in this game a long time. Mechanics, these guys kick, kick, kick. It's like a golf swing, right? Is it mental? Because as fans, we're going, okay, what's the deal? And then we heard Young Wei Koo speak, I think it was yesterday or maybe, and he said, you know, I was kicking on the turf at the field, and it was just one of those weird things where it didn't sound like he felt like his footing was right. Mechanics, mental, where are we at?
I'm not going to, you know, get into the mechanics of kicking the ball. I'm a terrible golfer.
Okay.
As you guys know. But, and it's very similar to that type of stuff, right? And how you place it, where you put it, where you slice it, all of those things. For me, does it go in, does it not? And he was talking about it, and for him it sounds like a misstep in his mechanics.
Okay.
And I'll let him explain those mechanics, and the person that coaches him explain those mechanics. I'm not even going to pretend that I can do that or know enough about it. We know the results, and that's what's critical to us. If you can fix them, you can fix them. If you can't, you can't. And the mental part, I don't think it is with him because he has the ability to articulate it and talk about it. Usually when it's mental, you don't know.
Right.
He's searching for answers. And it sounds like he has some of the answers. Now you got to go to apply it.
Right. As we said, it's just such a unique skill set that only one guy knows what's going on with it. Hey, on a positive tip, Pitts looked great. I thought Pitts, from where I was sitting, you got the 22 film, but looked like he was doing almost everything you needed. Was it something maybe Zach could work on? Because there's a connection between Drake, certainly, and Michael Penix, but it's almost like there's even more for Pitts out there if Mike can see him.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, Pitts had a really promising offseason, and it's hard to say it because all that we've talked about over the years, right? Everybody waiting for this constant disappointment. And it's like, if he can continue to stay in the mindset that he's in, and Michael Penix continue to find him and the work that they put in showed out, it's more out there. There is more out there. But there's more out there for us in general, right? I mean, I think they threw for 300 yards or whatever the case may be, and we ran for 60 or whatever the case may be, and Michael Penix went out there in a two-minute drill and performed as well as you can possibly perform, particularly those last three drives.
Right.
There's more out there, right? There's more out there. There's a couple incomplete pass that we had to Mike that we went back, that Mike had to Penix that pitch that we
right.
went back. And we can go out there and get those things. This is why I don't do radio. This is why you guys are not.
No, you do a good job. You do a good job. Raheem Morris joining us, guys, getting ready for the Vikings Sunday night. Prime time. And, you know, look, statistically, we dominated the game. When you look at time of possession, first downs.
Stats are for losers.
We didn't win the game.
Held the Bucs 140 yards below their average.
Okay, so the Bears did the same thing against the Vikings. When you look at the numbers.
Stats are for
right?
losers.
So we go to Minnesota Sunday night. What do we need to do?
Win. We need to go out there and figure out how to take advantage of the miss ops and make those ops this week, right? We had about five drop picks, if you're really hard, if you're really critical. You can add it up to three that we definitely should have had. We got to find a way to get those sacks and get them on the ground, the extra ones that we left out there. We probably missed about two or three sacks. Mm. If you can make the plays and find a way to make those plays, you put yourself in better position to go out there and win. And when you talk about offense, if you can go out there and establish the run game that you're very comfortable doing and be able to get some of those things off and be able to run the ball like you need to run it and to be able to complement them with the nice passing game that we were able to put out there last week, to be able to go out there and put our normal special teams performance together, which is usually making plays for us. You know, how many games did we win last year? We blocked a punt where we recovered a touchdown in the end
right.
zone.
Not a great special teams game?
No, we did not have a great special teams game. We gave a big return. We gave a big miss and field goal block. I mean, field goal, you know,
right.
it was a tough day for us mm-hmm. when it came to special teams. But I got a lot of credit, a lot of accountability in those guys to bounce back as well. You know, like, and it was just across the board. It wasn't just the kick. You
right.
know, we don't give up returns the way we did this game, and that happened.
Right. And then real quick, just to finish on a positive, what you got from Billy Bowman and from Xavier Watts. You touched on a little bit. Some interceptions were there to be taken from, you know, and Caden Ellis was so close on a couple of plays, but I thought the rookies looked really good.
Yeah, you've got about Devine. He was close on one.
Yeah.
We had Watt close on two. We had Caden close on a pick six. We had Caden miss a sack.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We had, you know, the uncharacteristic mistake by one of the all-time greats. We had a bunch of different things go out there that could have turned out really well. But the two rookies play well, man. You know, two rookies getting those positions to make those plays is significant, and those things are really critical for our success.
Raheem Morris, let's go get one on Sunday. These are chapters, guys. Mm-hmm. All right? We can't get too caught up in it. Ra, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you soon.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.